This is the Empty Stands Podcast.
Hi guys, it's another episode of the Empty Stands Podcast. I'm Ibuka. It's the weekend review, and with me on this one is my brother Albert. Albert, how are you doing?
What's up? I'm good, man. I'm good.
It's been a while.
It's great to be back, man.
Yeah, it's good to be back. It's good to be here. And to our listeners, yeah, we are sorry that we've not been able to put out, you know, weekend reviews in a while. We are back. We say that a lot, but we are back.
Exactly.
Yeah. But Albert, how was the weekend for you? We saw some very interesting games. We saw the big one, Man City against Arsenal. Did you sleep off at some point? Because some people called it boring.
It was quite boring. It was just lackluster. I don't think anyone was pushing their punches. It was just so defensive. Yeah, it was just one of those games that I'm happy Arsenal scaled through, because why, they are really in that title race. But still, I really expected more from them. But yeah, I think when you go to a city, you need to be careful. But at the same time, you need to try and be adventurous with the way you play. But that didn't happen for them.
Sadly. Yeah, but they got the result, though. I think to them and to their fans, that's the most important thing, getting the result. So they can be happy about that.
I think that's like strategy over a solid win, right?
Yeah, that's the plan. I think Ateta must have told the boys, as we get here, we're not going to lose.
Yeah.
And it worked out for them, you know. But I can remember watching, you know, Gabriel Jesus, and I was like, this guy has no threat. There are two players in the Premier League that I am never afraid of them. Oh. Gabriel Jesus and Luis Diaz. Those guys just look dangerous. They will not do anything to you. Don't be afraid. Like, they will threaten your team, like they would, you know, make some moves and stuff, but usually amounts to nothing. So I'm never really worried. And I don't think City were scared of him whenever he had the ball.
But in all honesty, like, bringing up Luis Diaz, like, on a good day, he's actually threatening. Like, on
he looks threatening. Like, that's the thing about him. Like, when you're watching Liverpool, right, especially when they're playing against your team, you'll be afraid of Diaz because he's always on the ball, trying to do something. Like, oh, this guy. By the end of the day, nothing will happen. There's no need to. You have to ask yourself, like, why was I afraid of this guy?
I think against Brighton over the weekend, despite his goal, it was actually very threatening. Like, he really had good chances.
That's how he looks, trust me. But when you see the games where he's missing chances left, right, and center, think back to the I think it was the game against United, right? Where he had a couple of chances to score, but he didn't. You know, he's just that kind of player. I don't know why I see him like that, but he's just that kind of player.
I was surprised that you didn't say Nunes, Darwin.
No, actually, I'm afraid of Nunes, to be honest. See, Nunes has really stepped up his game, and he could be crucial to Liverpool during the running, because he's moving on from that player that is unreliable and missing too many chances to that player that is genuinely threatening. And he's going to be a huge asset. I think in a few years, we'll look back at it and say, this was money well spent for Liverpool. That's what I feel.
Yeah, maybe two seasons. Because right now, he's really not living up to the expectations of what for that player that we expected him to be.
Fair. I get you.
I remember when he joined, we had the Erling Haaland Nunes comparison.
Yeah. I remember that very premature debate.
Haaland just left him behind.
I think that happens in the PL, where we always try to, when we look at, you know, two strikers joining big teams at the same time, we are always drawn to compare. I remember when Lukaku joined United and Morata joined Chelsea, there was this whole thing around it. So that's probably what happened last year. It's not a big deal.
And the sad thing about Nunes is that when Jota plays, Jota actually produces more results.
Nah, Jota is a scary player. Yeah.
So that's quite competition for him.
But the good thing is he has Cody Gakpo that is not doing much. So at least he knows he will start ahead of Gakpo.
No, I won't say Cody. And Cody is actually a striker, an out-and-out striker.
Yeah, he's not more, actually.
Yeah, he plays more from the wing. Yeah. And
yeah,
I think he's one of those players that can do play from the wing and also
play through the middle as well. Yeah.
From the middle. So yeah.
I get you. Okay, so let's go back to the Man City Arsenal game. Like, yes, it was a very good point for Arsenal. Do you think that that result would give Arsenal the necessary inspiration to go on to win the league? I know you have a semi soft spot for Arsenal. I'm suspecting you.
Yeah, I know. So, like, if you look right now, we are in the runnings, right? Game week 30, right? We have very few games left. Arsenal needs all the momentum they can get. They need all the points they can get. They can't afford to lose the game. The least they can do is to draw and not draw or just draw very few games. Why? Because they know who is behind them and they know who is ahead of them. Those are things that they need to factor in. A draw is actually good. I think for good football lovers, they're just looking for more exciting games and more of that push from them. And they didn't just get it during this last game. But they got 1 point from City. And that I guess the strategy worked. They are 2 points behind Liverpool. Hopefully, if they are strong enough or if they are more adventurous enough, they can usurp Liverpool. But right now, they are still in that race. City is behind them. I remember what happened last season. Last season, Arsenal was in that race, but were focusing. And I think what happened last season is that they were focusing on City's game. Like, I think their attention was on City. While City was just playing their game, their attention was on City. And City was able to win the league. But yeah, if they just focus on themselves and their football, I think that's what they are doing right now. They've been exceptional this season. I guess Liverpool has just been better and City also thriving. But yeah, I hope City doesn't win the league. I hope City doesn't win the league. It should just be terrible. Like, come on. How many times?
I actually want City to win it for the sake of peace, because I have Arsenal fans that are ready to push their agendas that their team is the best in the world. Just like how Liverpool will be telling you things like Van Dijk is the best centre-back in Premier League history and all that crap. You know, Arsenal fans have Saliba waiting patiently. So once they win the title, that's the end. We'll not hear anything again. There's Saka, and you know I have an agenda against Saka. You know, I just don't want any of that messiness. I know too many Arsenal fans. Then for Liverpool fans used to be, you know, those guys that were going through a lot and you felt bad for them. But, you know, since Klopp came in, they still have him out. So I didn't even want them to win. I know only one Man City fan and he's tolerable. Like, he's a cool guy.
Yeah,
they can win it.
I know just one Man City fan, my cousin, and his count too.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, let them just win it. Let me rest.
Yeah. But I think it would be a good farewell to Klopp to get them.
I don't want a good farewell, to be honest. Like, I don't like the guy. I think he's overrated. No, he's good. No, I'm not saying he's not good, but I think he's overrated.
No, club slander.
I have to a little bit, because people say things like, you know, when you ask people now, and I think it's just recency bias, when you tell them to name maybe their top Premier League coaches of all time, right? You see people putting Klopp in their top five, Klopp as high as second. I'm like, did Arsene Wenger disappear? Where is Fergie? Like, what's going on here? Like, it's just crazy. And I think it's recency bias. He is a binary man. He beat the allegations by beating Chelsea. Look, think about this thing, Albert. Most of what he's done in England is by beating subpar Chelsea teams with useless... Okay, not every time was useless manager, but he's... Two Carabao Cups, he beat Chelsea in the final, right? He's won FA Cup, he beat Chelsea in the final. He smashed Chelsea to win the Premier League. Okay, fine. No, that one, I only put it on Chelsea. But I'm just like, come on, we can't be calling this guy among goats just because. That's probably why I don't want Liverpool to win. That's not because of Ovo and Olu being annoying. I think it's more because of Klopp and his legacy. But, you know, let's look at Liverpool's fixtures, right? They have Sheffield at home. They have Man U away. I need you guys to do one more time. I need you to run it one more time for me, Albert. Then there's Crystal Palace, there's Fulham, Everton, West Ham away, Spurs at home, Aston Villa away, Wolves at home. That's the last game of the season for Liverpool. So looking at that, seeing that they have Man U away as the standout fixture, and the next to that is Spurs at home, do you think Liverpool can, you know, win the title? Because if they win all their games, they will win the title.
I think you're forgetting the fact that they have Aston Villa. They're away to Aston Villa.
Yeah, that's a tough one, but I'll put United and Spurs ahead of Aston Villa on the difficulty rating.
I think coming to Old Trafford is always a challenge for Liverpool, and not in the fact that they can't win it. They can always win it, definitely, but it's always the atmosphere, like. Old Trafford on a very nice day with the fans behind them, the rivalry attached to it, the history behind the game, is one that could actually upset Liverpool on any day. And that happened in the FA Cup. They didn't know how it happened, but it happened. And I guess during the FA Cup, maybe Liverpool really underestimated what United could do because of the kind of the position they find themselves in right now. But yeah, that is one game that I know that Klopp would actually try his best to not lose. And yeah, I think a draw would be one that could come out of that game. Because one, right now, despite with the position that also Erik ten Hag is, you don't want to be that person that loses to Liverpool at Old Trafford again. So yeah, it's not something that is going to look to what's happening. But yeah, I think that's one difficult game that they have. The game with Crystal Palace could be one. It's an easy game for Liverpool. Definitely, they can definitely walk past Crystal Palace. Fulham is a tricky one because we know the resurgence of Fulham. They know how to, for some reason, Muniz has just been one of those strikers that you didn't know would produce so much
goal. I swear, man, the guy is on form. The goal he scored at the weekend was fantastic.
See, Fulham will know how to surprise a big team. They really know how to surprise a big team. I'm happy for Iwobi right now, like playing good football right now. And yeah. That could also be a difficult game for Liverpool if they go in and underestimate Fulham. Definitely, Fulham, they know how to put in like 4 to 5 goals, and it's quite interesting seeing a middle table team like doing that. So yeah, I'm not going to out that game as one that's going to be easy for Liverpool to just walk through. I think Everton is one they can. Everton is also a rivalry for them. So, the atmosphere might be different.
But I don't trust Everton, bro.
Yeah,
the
atmosphere, yeah, we could be one that could upset Liverpool. But I don't see them losing that game either. That derby, I don't see them losing that game. Also, like, looking at with the way Premier League is right now, like, anybody can nick it. Even West Ham, like, with the resurgence of Jared Bowen right now, like everyone is putting in numbers right now.
Yeah, so, you saw the Newcastle West Ham game, right?
Fam, like, I was like, when I watched that game, I was like,
that was a football match, man. That was a football match.
It was just one of those surprises that Premier League gives you. Like,
yeah,
1 minute you're up, the other minute you're down. Sad. It was really sad. It was really good for Newcastle because they pushed hard for it. But really sad for West Ham to drop. I thought they were actually, okay, you know what, you drop the points. Why don't you just draw the game? But they ended up losing it 4-3. Sad stuff. But yeah.
Crazy, man.
You know, I honestly wish Liverpool had it good. I really wish they had it good. They actually have some tricky fixtures with Fulham, with the derby with Everton, with West Ham. These are not easy games. Then Spurs. These are people that could just like ruin their day. On then Aston Villa, who is trying to get, who is on the verge of playing Champions League football. I think right now, what I see that right now, the only games I see that they could literally close their eyes and most likely win is a game with Wolves and Crystal Palace. The rest are quite tricky.
Literally. Yeah, Sheffield as well.
And Sheffield, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the rest are really quite tricky. So,
yeah.
I think Klopp just needs to be on his A game.
Yeah, you're right. And the Premier League is very, very unpredictable. If you look at Arsenal, I think they have the hardest of the three. And that's because they have Luton next, then Brighton away. They have Aston Villa sandwiched between the Bayern Munich fixtures. That could be very tough for Arsenal.
That is going to be a very long
game. It's, yes.
Arteta's rotation skills has to come into play.
Exactly. And, you know, we could see a case of him maybe having to make that tough decision. When I'm playing Aston Villa, do I rest players ahead of the second leg with Bayern Munich? Or, you know, it's going to be a tough one. And it's unfamiliar territory for them. But let's see how they handle it. So after Bayern, they have Wolves away, Chelsea at home. I think that's a very straightforward victory for Arsenal. They have Spurs away, Bournemouth at home, Manchester United away, then Everton at home. So I think it's a bit more difficult than what Liverpool have because they will play Brighton away. They will play Aston Villa, even though that's at home. They play Chelsea, Tottenham, and Manchester United. You know, I think it's going to be tough for Arsenal. But what are your thoughts on Arsenal's chances of winning the Premier League?
Chances of winning the Premier League is going to be a miracle, honestly. Yeah, it's going to be a miracle for them to win it. It's more like being in that mindset to win it. And like one thing that Liverpool and City have ahead of Arsenal is the winner's mindset, literally. Like, they know that they can go in and grab it anytime, any day. Like, the only reason why City isn't at the top right now is because maybe they didn't just choose to be. Like, if you think about it, because if you're a betting man, like, you're definitely not betting Arsenal to win the Premier League, definitely. So it's more of a mindset shift for them, and it will be a miracle. And trust me, so many people are waiting for that miracle to happen. Their next fixtures with Brighton.
Yes.
Tricky fixture.
Very tricky.
Aston Villa, home to Aston Villa. Now, Arsenal can walk, I believe Arsenal can definitely walk past Aston Villa. But I don't know if I'm scared of Brighton more than Aston Villa. I think one thing about Brighton is the fact that anybody can be on the pitch. Like, anybody can be on the pitch. That's just the thing about Brighton. Like, you really don't know who the first starting 11 could be. So
yeah,
like,
they rotate a bit, yeah.
The Zebri knows how to really move players around. So you sometimes don't even know who is starting. I think Zebri has the club. He does the thing that Man City does is that they sometimes they just move midfielders around. Sometimes you don't even know who's going to start. It's very unpredictable. So yeah, that could ruin the tactics of Arsenal within that game, not knowing the players that could start. Are you starting Welbs? If you're not starting Welbs, are you starting Ewan Ferguson? So yeah, you're just trying to find out like who you're going to start. But still, I think Arsenal has, like you said, they actually have the harder fixtures, because one, like once you start going down that rabbit hole of playing Chelsea at home and playing Tottenham away, then United away, you're just exhausted. Hopefully, definitely they can win games with Burnley and Everton. That's what Bournemouth and Everton, like those are games that are winnable. But once you have like the clubs that can take it away from you, like Chelsea, Tottenham, and United.
Sorry, like what? What you say?
Like clubs that can take that.
Like the first one that you called, or the first club that you called.
That's your business.
let's be focused here, Albert. Yeah. Let us be focused.
If we want to have this conversation, like, you know, I was watching Chelsea game this weekend, and I asked myself, like, just imagine if Pep kept Palmer.
I don't think it would have been this good.
You know what?
I think he needed the exposure.
I have a feeling that Pep still sleeps out. Like, I should have kept Palmer. I think. Because honestly, like, that's literally Chelsea's best player this season.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, Chelsea's best player this season. And I still ask myself, why is he this good? Like, he knows how to put himself in the right spaces to score. He creates chances, he scores. He's the point man for PKs. Like, he's literally Chelsea's best player. But yeah, I think, yeah, I hope, I'm looking forward to next season's Chelsea. I think we're still going to talk about Chelsea, so let me keep my talking point.
Let's stick Chelsea up to this.
I know Arsenal has the harder fixture based on the fact that they are also in, they also have the Champions League games. Sandwich with Aston Villa, and hopefully the rotation comes in. Hopefully there are no injuries. I think Saka should just go on holiday, and Odegaard should go on holiday.
You know, there's a theory about that thing, because you know after the game he was limping, right? There's a theory about that that's been going out on Twitter that whenever he drops his stinker, he starts to limp.
Honestly, I think he should just keep limping.
No, but he's a crucial player. You know, when we talk about players that could decide the Premier League title in Arsenal's favor, I think Saliba is one.
Yeah.
People talk about how last season him getting injured and Rob Holding stepping in is what cost Arsenal the league. As much as a part of me wants to disagree, there's also some logic to it because he is that important for them. I think Saka, Rice, Odegaard are also key, but I'll say Saliba is probably their most important player because of his influence and the data from last season where his injury kind of disrupted their title challenge. And after that, I'll say Saka. So, you know, they need Saka fit. They need Saka fit for the running. They need Saka fit for Bayern. Yeah, and I know we've talked on Liverpool before, but apart from Salah, because Salah is the obvious person, who do you think in that Liverpool team could have a very big say on where the title goes?
Honestly, I don't see anybody.
Yeah, it's just Salah, right?
I can't even lie to you. I think Salah is the heart and soul of that Liverpool team. I think everyone is coming to terms with the fact that Van Dijk is not the best centre back.
I came to terms with that years ago, but it's fine. Liverpool fans are just coming to terms with it. Yeah,
I think they've come to terms with that. So much of his influence in them winning the Champions League, also them winning the Premier League, is slim. Salah is the heart and soul of that team, and he's really the main decider for them. And that doesn't take off the fact that Van Dijk is a solid defender.
No, very solid. Everything that Klopp has achieved is still down to Van Dijk's presence and his leadership. I think Salah. I think another shout would be McAllister because he's been consistent throughout the season.
Yeah, McAllister has stepped up though. He has really.
Yeah, he has. Yes.
That, and the thing about it is that I think early this season we were hoping to see what that experimental midfield was going to be.
Yeah,
it was like McAllister. I wanted to see what that was going to be. And I think they were better off from last season where they didn't have these players. They didn't replace the likes of Mane and Co. And yeah, hopefully, yeah, I think. Yes.
But you can't blame them. Some big shoes to fill, though. Some very big shoes.
Yeah, yeah, some big shoes to fill. But yeah, they're big. They're a big club. They really. They need to be able to get those players. I think one thing I've noticed about Liverpool, they really know how to do good business. They just go and get you, and they just like they got McAllister before the season ended. Like, you know, they know how to make those good business deals and bolster up, and that's good. That's really good. I think purchases like Ryan Gravenberch, Cody Gakpo, they really had to bolster the midfield. So
but those two players, I have issues with them, Shaw. But yeah, you know, can still come good. They can still come. Gravenberch is young. They're still trying to pick his career up. Let's see how far that goes. And for Cody Gakpo, I think he's still adapting to life at Liverpool. He's playing sometimes as a nine. Sometimes he's been asked to play a bit deeper. Yeah. So I can just give him a pass for that.
I think that's a bit of frustration on his side, right? Like,
yeah,
different positions and no mastering one.
It's quite crazy, and I feel for him sometimes. But yeah, bro, let's talk about City, yeah?
Yeah.
So City are my pick to win the league.
Nice.
Just because of, you know, world peace. And the good thing for them is that yes, they have a tricky fixture against Crystal Palace away before they play the first leg of the Madrid game. But after that, they have Luton at home. So it gives Pep the opportunity to do that heavy rotation ahead of the second leg with Madrid. Something that Arteta may not be able to do because he's playing Aston Villa instead of, you know, Man City are playing in Luton Town. But I think the standout fixture here is Spurs. They have Spurs away. Every other fixture, and actually not just every, even the Spurs fixture, I think City, because of your past records and what we know they can do, I think City can actually win every single game they have here. They are that good. They've done it before, and I don't think anything is stopping them from doing it again. What do you think?
I agree with you. I think the only tricky game there is the one with the Spurs game. And that's why, because they are away to Spurs. Anything happening wide that lane. But yeah, we know City, right? City can work on anybody right now. And not just work with that, work on anyone with ease, right? The game against Luton, that's a done deal already. That's a done deal already. Away to Brighton. Would I say Brighton? I think, yeah, like I said, Brighton are one of those teams that could surprise you. And that's not about the Premier League, right? We always enjoy the surprises, right? Like, we're going to sit down and watch the game and be like, oh my God, what happened?
But are we always enjoying the surprises, though? Chelsea is 11th. Is that a nice surprise?
We'll get to Chelsea. We'll get to Chelsea. But yeah, I think the only tricky game that City has like one of my best fixtures right now. Like, if they didn't have Spurs in their fixture, right, then we just know that okay, it's done. Like, it's done already. That they are gone already. Like we won't have to worry because we know that they'll win everything. Yeah. So once you bought Spurs. Funny, Spurs could just come and just, you know, do like a very long draw, like 3-3, 4-4. You know how those games go. Because they have the firing power. Like that, if they stay fit, right? If you have your son Madison playing well, Kulusevski on
Richarlison.
Brennan Johnson.
No, they have some very good players. Now, to be honest, I'm sad that Chelsea missed out on Ange because he was on the shortlist. But I think the club had that Graham Potter PTSD of, oh, we took a gamble and this guy did not work out. Do we want to take another gamble again? No, yeah. Let's just go for a safe pair of hands in Pochettino. So,
see, once you have that power, right? Like, the whole world is watching you, and there are certain gambles that you can't take. Like, and you look at history. I think Ange was the safer bet for Spurs than Chelsea. Like, and I believe he'll be able to. He has that opportunity to thrive at Spurs, right? They are not that team that you expect to win everything, right? They're actually that team that you expect to grow, to be in the right competitions, like take me to Champions League, you get me to round of 16. If I get to quarterfinal, yay, you get, like, hopefully we win an FA Cup or a Carabao Cup and we are good. Yet, like, someday we hope to win Premier League, you get stuff like that. Yeah, so Ange was a safer bet for Spurs, not Chelsea. Chelsea needed something stronger, something solid, something that you could sell to the board of directors, sell to the world, something that could put a bit of fear in your opponent. Yeah, but they didn't make the right choice at first.
It was not the right choice.
But I think that's why they had the porch Pochettino stage. But right now, I think we understand the whole rebuilding is happening. So let's let them keep
playing. Let's see how it goes. Yeah. So who do you think is that player for City that could maybe decide?
So many players,
right? Yeah. You think you can pick one player?
One player. KDB.
That's a good pick. KDB, that's a good pick.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I don't even want to expect the whole Haaland thing. But you need someone to orchestrate all this, man. You really need someone to come in and orchestrate everything. And he's the best man than the man that can do it and the man that will do it.
If he stays fit, yeah.
If he stays fit. But yeah, and the good thing about City is that they have leaders, good leaders, people that are focused from the front line. They have Haaland. In the middle, they have KDB and
Rodri.
Then they have back holding it strong. Like, what are you talking about? They have people that, like, on a good day would step on you anytime, any day. So these are, like, strong personalities they have in each of their games. And yeah, I believe you don't even need to pick up one person. Like, each and every one of them, they know the drill. They know what they're here for. We're here to win it and get our gap. So this strong personality, this is what, like, so many teams lack. The strong personalities, so many teams lack it. Like if you're looking for a goal, you see that Rodri comes to score and you're like, come on, where are you coming from, you defensive midfielder? What are you doing putting the ball behind the net? Yeah. Like, yeah. I think they have the strong personalities to win any game. But yeah, I give it to KDB definitely because, one, he's very good at orchestrating their wins. Yeah.
Now, that's a very good pick. I think KDB is going to be crucial. For me, I have a slightly different pick. I'll go with Rodri, and that's because Rodri is just clutch, right?
I don't think any of our picks would be bad, literally.
Yeah, like very good picks, very good picks.
Every pick is a good pick.
I swear, because City are that good. Yeah. City are that good. Well, let's quickly move down the table a bit. You know, you've talked about Aston Villa, and Aston Villa are currently fourth, and it looks like they could play Champions League football next season. They have a 3-point lead over Spurs, so it seems like a direct battle between Aston Villa and Spurs for the Champions League spots. Mm-hmm. Apparently, we will have 5 teams playing the Champions League next season because of the new format. So I think both Aston Villa and Spurs look like they are going to be there. But there's United some steps behind. You know, what do you think about, you know, Champions League qualification? Do you think Aston Villa is going to nick it? Or rather, I won't say nick. I do think they're going to earn that spot because they have done so well so far this season. And for United, is the Europa League a bad way to end the season?
Mm-hmm. All right. I think one thing we should give Unai Emery his flowers, because what he did with this current Villa team was amazing. ensuring that Ole is fit. I think he's injured right now, but Watkins has been an amazing striker this season, bolstering your midfield with Moussa Diaby, Tillisman. Like, these are underrated players that have actually stepped up. Having a World Cup winning goalkeeper in Martinez. And yeah, having a very good coach, right? I think that decision to get Unai Emery was really a great one. I think, like, if you want to talk about the best signings, like, himself is one of the best signings that they had this season. But, like, Unai Emery has played Champions League. He's familiar with it. Like, he's not going... Qualifying to play Champions League is not a surprise to him, so he's not going to be shocked. He has done it several times. And so, yeah, they have earned that spot, and they deserve it. They deserve Champions League football this season. I hope they can stay fourth, because also Tottenham has had Spurs. They've had some downtime actually. So I believe with the momentum that Aston Villa have, but right now that Watkins is injured, that could be a tricky one for them, because he's been their point man. Diaby also scores, but yeah, we can't compare that to the contribution that Ollie Watkins brings to team himself. And also players like John Duran, this is also another player that actually knows how to score goals. So yeah, these are I believe they've earned it. They've been playing amazing this season. They've won their crucial games. It's not easy to be fourth right now, like at the stage where we are in the Premier League right now, and just a few games to end it, and they are fourth right now. So they've earned it. There's if five teams are going to play Champions League football, then they are going to play Champions League football, because by the looks of it, there is no way that United right now with 48 points is going to first. They need to jump over to Spurs, who have 56 points, and Villa, who has 59 points. There's no way that's going to happen. Like, no way that is going to happen. I think United is playing Chelsea next, and
I don't even want to talk about. I think it's going to be maybe a draw, and that's because both teams are struggling, in my opinion.
I think both teams are struggling. Caveat, right? I still believe Chelsea is a threat, and I'm not a threat from the striking point, because every time I ask myself why you bought Jackson. Or is he still adapting? I don't know.
No, I think the boy has a lot of potential, right?
Burnley discussion, because my notes here. I was just like, okay, wow.
All right, let's move there quickly. So Albert, Europa League plays for United.
Oh, definitely.
United finished sixth. It's not a bad season, right?
It's a terrible season. What are you talking about?
Come on. Okay. I'd have thought it was not going to be. Six is not bad, dude, in this current economy.
Like, what? Does Buhari
not bad,
Tinubu run the world? No, really, it's going to be bad. It's going to be a bad season. Like, if United goes into Europa League, like, it's going to be terrible. Like, we had a bad Champions League run this entire season, and we got out of the FA Cup, the Carabao Cup. which we won last season. Right now, we're in the FA Cup, but we know who's going to win it. So, it's...
When they first handle Chelsea, that see, Pochettino cannot fraud his way to another final. That's why when we got past Leicester,
yeah.
I tweeted, I want Man City because I want the one that who can beat us. United, they are not sure, 50-50. Don't know the mood that they will be in. But Man City, I can bet anything, beat the hell out of us. So I'm very happy that we got City. So that Pochettino does not fraud anybody into the thinking, oh, FA Cup final, he got into the final.
I don't know how I don't know how this organization is doing, like, they can't work up themselves. I think they're actually looking for a Manchester Derby final, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's all about the story. It's all about the story.
Not all tickets, right? It's all more
Of course.
I think this is what it's even better if United wins that game. It's like, okay, an upset, like, yada. And yeah, more tickets will be sold and all. It's a better story. Like, okay.
Of course.
Yeah.
No, you know, before the fixture against Liverpool, that's the Man U Liverpool FA Cup quarterfinal,
yeah.
I had a conversation with a Liverpool fan, and he was saying that if Liverpool should beat United, they would get Coventry. Yeah. I was like, oh, what do you think? He said, because the story is going to be either a Liverpool-Chelsea final again or a Liverpool-Man City final. But it has to be a good story, right? And since United won, it's now a United Chelsea or United Man City final, which is a better story, which will sell more tickets, right? Yeah. So that's really what they're looking for. And yeah, I hope they get it. But guys, speaking about United, let's talk about the Brentford game. Like, we saw proper dominance from Brentford. I'm sure that there was not a minute of that match that you were not scared. Because it was constant wave of pressure, after wave of pressure. It was crazy. How did you feel walking out of, you know, that game with a point? I think that's the best result you could have gotten. And Erik ten Hag should pat himself on the back and say that was a job well done.
I mean, when you, in games like that, right? Why are you patting yourself on the back, like? Games like that, you even ask yourself, how come Brentford didn't win the game? Like, you ask yourself questions like that because they were literally the better team at every point in time. Like, they had, like, 17 shots off target. Literally off. Like, how didn't any of those 17 shots, like, get into the post, right? And into the net. And that's why the fact that United had more possession, but Brentford was on the forefront trying to win the game. And you will know that United was actually they weren't in that mindset to win it if they scored at the 96th minute and lost at the 99th minute. Like, you couldn't defend the game.
You drew the game. I know it felt like a loss, but you didn't lose the game though. So it was a good result.
You couldn't defend that win for 3 minutes, right?
Albert, it was not a bad result. You guys did not even deserve to win in the first place. So yeah. why are you feeling bad?
Yeah, you said we don't deserve. Yeah, exactly, we don't deserve to win. Like, but when you think about playing badly and getting a draw, it's not the identity of who we truly are. As a club and as a team, and how we represent the entire world of football, basically. And yeah, I think the team truly needs a mindset shift. And we have some good personalities in the game, right? We have, in that entire game, like, Lindelof was out of his day. Like, literally, he was gone. Like, I was like, wow. I was like, where is Maguire? I mean, where's Maguire? Like, literally, you know when you're looking for, like, the best option out of the worst? The best, yeah. Yeah, however that I said. But yeah, I was looking for Maguire to come in quickly. But yeah, he replaced Varane. But yeah, Lindelof was out of his depth. Like, literally, it was It was a bad game for him. And yeah, honestly, when I see the players, right, I just look to the future, right, and be like, okay, hopefully next season is better. Like with personalities like Haaland and Kobbie Mainoo, I just like have faith in the team, and hopefully next season is better. But man, this weekend, man, they weren't it at all, man. It was a shite game, man. It was a real shit game.
You can't win them all, and playing Brentford away at night, because it's a difficult one. Because when you go there, if you get anything, you will struggle. I don't know whether it's some vampire thing with Brentford, but when you go to their place at night, it's always difficult. But if you go during the day, you might have a good time. It's just something weird about them.
But you also know that, like, it seems like, and it's a very hard comparison, right? It seems like City will actually go there and win the game.
That's a hard comparison. That's a hard comparison. Okay, so let's not go there.
We're miles away. We're literally miles away at the team from like our counterparts, right? So
yeah, as you said, there's a lot to look forward to next season.
But like Brentford, man, like they weren't clinical at all, man. Like literally
at all.
Win the game. We are shit. So just win the game.
Yeah, it was so annoying.
Like, just win it. But they, like, how? Like, and okay, and also big shout out to Onana. Like,
he had good saves.
He had some very, very good saves. Like,
yeah, he did well.
I was like, oh wow, it's good.
And then shout out to Mason Mount. It's not easy being out for so long.
Let's go.
And showing United fans why money was spent to get him in. I think a lot of people have forgotten how good Mason Mount is as a footballer. Yes, he has his issues with Chelsea fans, but there's still a fantastic player in there. And when he got that chance, I knew he was going to score. And I was like, wow, so Mason Mount is going to win this game for United. But the gods of football, they were not having it. We thank God for that.
Football, they don't like
football. But let's move on to Chelsea, because we'll be wrapping this up real quick.
Now,
what are your thoughts on Pochettino, right, as a manager? Because it seems like he's not getting a lot of things right, and the fans have really lost confidence in not just the players, but the manager, the directors, the owners, everybody.
I think the fans should chill out.
For real.
I think the fans should just take a chill pill. Okay, no, let's look at what we're working right here, right? We're working with a team that was given to Pochettino, right? And team that he didn't build, he didn't put together, and they already had their strategy, right? So like a coach with little or no influence on the kind of players that he wants. And that could also affect him. That could also affected him basically. Then the thinking about he doesn't have his preferred starting 11. I think it's recently he started figuring out his starting 11.
He's had to cope with injuries, Reece James has been out and all of that. I get
so there's a lot riding on the way Chelsea currently is structured right now. And with your oldest player right now is who. So like everyone is very young and trying to figure shit out, right? Looking at the team, they still need some time to work together to chill.
Yeah. I agree.
Enzo, Caicedo, I think, and also think about with the way Chelsea bought players now, the price tag also has that pressure on those players. Lavia hasn't played this season.
He has played just 32 minutes after costing the club like 58 million.
Caicedo is still looked upon as, okay, maybe he wasn't worth that price tag.
There's no maybe. there was no world where it was worth that much.
Conor Gallagher is still proving to Chelsea fans that I belong in this club. I belong in this club.
No, no, please. You can't be going. Literally, thank you for your service.
Modric is still trying to get away from... Anyways, he's still trying to prove himself also. Yeah, Jackson is trying to adapt to his new role as the point man. And I think that's a lot of pressure on a player that is moving to in a club that is rebuilding, right? You are the point man himself. We're happy that Palmer has that Man City mindset. Like, I believe that is what Chelsea bought, literally. They bought the player that has the winning mindset. And that's why, as young as he is, he literally has Chelsea on his back right now. You have a very young defensive line with De Sassi and Badashile trying to build a partnership, right? So then Thiago Silva is very old. He's very old. He shouldn't even be playing. I think he should retire right now. Yeah, okay, good personalities with Raheem Sterling, misses few chances sometimes, but
he's not... you say few? That guy is wanted, dude. So that's the problem with Sterling, right? Yeah, the senior person in that team.
Yeah.
A lot of the young players are looking up to you. We've heard guys like Kani, Noni refer to Sterling as their big brother, right? But then, are you showing that leadership on the pitch? He is not. He's someone that we know is selfish. It's well documented this season that he's had a couple of chances where clean through on goal, the teammate squared the ball to the teammate, let the teammate score. Sterling will shoot and miss. No. So it's really annoying that he's not stepping up. No. When you factor in his wages, he's not performing.
I don't know if you remember Sterling, Liverpool Sterling. It's literally someone that could beat play like could
yeah
take the ball from end of the pitch to score. Like he could beat players, move.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of player he is. Like he can do it on his own, right? He can do it all by himself. And yeah.
Not this current version of Sterling. This current version of Sterling is not doing anything on his own.
Yeah, I think
he gets very annoying.
But think about it. Like okay, now let's look at the injury list. Chalobah is injured. Rich James is injured. Wesley Fofana is injured. Oh, Wesley Fofana. Oh my God. I was like, all right. Chilwell is injured. Levi Colwill is injured. Nkunku is injured. Lavia is injured. Leslie Ojukwu is injured. Kani is injured. Like this is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Should be 10.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Injuries. Like, these are... And I'm not saying that, okay, these are people that could actually change team play, right? Like, okay, maybe Nkunku could step in. But I think Fofana is just that one of those players that you guys actually wish to just stay fit. And
left to me, I would pick a Rhys James to be fit ahead of Fofana. But for Rhys James... I'm slowly starting to give up on his talent because...
Whoa. His talent. I thought you would say his fitness. Come on.
No. See, the thing is, for you to really achieve your potential, you have to be available. Yeah. Yes, you have the potential to be one of the best, if not the best right back in the world. But if we can only see you play 5, 6, 7 times in a season, you never fulfill that potential. So there's no need. That's my problem with him. And I think very soon, if he doesn't find a way to fix his fitness,
yeah.
I think within the next 2 years, the club will start to think of letting this guy go. Because let's not forget, Rhys James is earning 250K a week. He was given that new contract before they came up with this structure of, you know, cutting down on wages. He and Sterling are the two highest earners at the club. And these are players that Rhys James is not available. Sterling is available, but he's underperforming. And I'm sure that the board will be looking at that to say, in this summer, at least let one person, maybe Sterling, let him get out so that we can adjust our wage bill. But okay. that's my thing with Rhys James. He's not fit. Like Malo Gusto has done well, though. I'll give Gusto his credit. He's right up there with Palmer for, you know, best signing for Chelsea.
Literally.
But you know, we still need our captain, which even though I don't know why they gave him that captain armband, but we still need our captain back. So fingers crossed next season is a lot better under a new manager that knows what he's doing.
So, you know, I remember early this season you didn't Cucurella to be on the lineup. So
who is that, Cucurella?
Yeah, you didn't want him to be on.
But at this moment, if you tell me to choose between Cucurella and Chilwell, I'll choose Cucurella because Chilwell is not it. Nah, Chilwell is really struggling for form and now he's back injured again. It's just not really been a good season for him and for a lot of Chelsea players, to be honest. It's not been a good season. As much as Pochettino, I don't know where he's checking his own stats, but he said the stats suggest that Chelsea should be fourth. I don't know the stats he's looking at though. I mean, I don't know. But I don't think that is realistic. I think we've been very poor. I think we should be higher than 11th, but 11th is our reality at the moment, and it's a combination of so many things. A flawed recruitment process or system, and, you know, a not so great manager, and also underperforming players and injuries. Oh, yeah, quite a lot of things. But 11th is our reality.
How well do you think Petrovic has done?
Wow, I actually think he has done very well. I don't think there's any debate as to who is better between him and Sanchez. Trust me, I don't think there's any debate. He made a mistake at Burnley, and a lot of people, you know, will give him stick for that. But it's fine. For me, you know, yeah, you can make one mistake, you know, once in a while, and I would accept that. He's growing, and I know that he would learn from that, you know, mistake, because Petrovic is learning. Because I've seen progression over the few games that he has played. He's working on his kicking. Like, he's actually seeing his flaws and working on them. That's why I might have a problem with Petrovic. Sanchez, God forbid, a waste of money. £25 million on Brighton's third choice goalkeeper. Because at that time, he was actually third choice. And, you know, people are talking about how, oh, yes, you know, it was a negotiation strategy to get a discount on Caicedo. Did we get a discount on Caicedo? We did not. The whole thing just didn't make any sense. But, you know, where we are. I think the rumors circulating that in the summer we're going to go for another goalkeeper. I think it makes sense because Sanchez has to leave the club. But let's see what happens in the summer.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed, my brother. All right, let's so that we don't rant about Chelsea. But let's just bring this home. Who do you think is going to win the league? I want a definite answer from you.
I should just say it once, right?
Yes, just say once. Oh. Just, you know, drop it.
I think City will make it.
Yeah. Right.
As much as I don't mind, and coming from a United fan, it's just weird. It's like, it's so sad. City will win it. Oh, yeah. I think City will nick it. But, yeah, it'll be a nice send forth for Klopp. It'll be a nice send forth for Klopp. It would register his legacy in the club,
which I don't want. So let's keep it like this.
Come on, like, yeah, and I think he'll be literally registered as one of the greats, worldwide. And in his, honestly, I don't know what he wants to do next. I don't know what you do after Liverpool. Think about
what do you mean? They are not the pinnacle of football that they used to be. No. Like, come on now.
Like,
there are so many things you can do after Liverpool.
Okay, what do you think he can do after Liverpool? Please tell me.
So I think a lot of people would be aiming for the Madrid job next year. Unfortunately for them, I believe that job has been promised to Xabi Alonso. So, you know, I wish them all the best. I think Klopp would probably want to do a Barcelona. I think he wants to coach in Spain.
I don't see you moving from Liverpool to do a rebuild again. I don't see.
So that's the thing. Xavi has already started that rebuilding process. And they announced that Xavi was going to leave at the end of the season. But I have a feeling that they are looking back and thinking that was premature. I have a feeling that, you know, they would want to see if they can get the club next year. Even the Xabi Alonso, they might want to deceive them, so that's not going to happen. So I have a feeling that in the summer, Barcelona will tell Xavi to stay one more year and work on that rebuild. Let's not forget that Xavi has brought up a lot of young players into, you know, that limelight. Yamal is a 16-year-old playing consistently for Barcelona and Spain. I think that is very bad. I think he's going to burn out very soon. Same thing happened to Pedri. Pedri played 73 games. I think that was a year ago or 2 years ago in the calendar year. Of those in the season, yeah, and he's been struggling with injuries this season. I think that is a bad thing to do, but anyway, that's a topic for another day. But there's this young centre back, Kobasi, that they have. You know, that guy looks amazing. You know, so I think Xavi is handling that rebuild of bringing the young players in, and he's building a squad that a world class manager will come in and take them to the next level. As much as people will say Klopp doesn't really fit Barcelona's style of play, but Let's forget that Barcelona hired Ernesto Valverde, hired Ronald Koeman. They don't really care about who's fitting their style of play anymore.
Yeah, they had some weird hires.
Very, very weird hires.
I don't see Klopp moving, doing a rebuild. I think he's moving to a winning team. Like, he just moves to a winning team and just continues his legacy.
I don't want to think so. Because the Bayern job is not going to be available unless whoever comes in this summer makes a real mess of it. The Madrid job will be available because, you know, Klopp said he's taking a year off. So I'm looking at what will be available next year. The Newcastle job is going to be available this summer. The Napoli job will be available this summer. I'm not talking about big clubs, Napoli-ish, but, you know. Then I think the AC Milan job will be available this summer as well. Juventus, I don't think so. I think Allegri will still stay. You know, this is the summer of the whole managerial merry-go-round. This is where a lot of jobs are going to, top jobs are going to be available. But next year, the standout job that's going to be available is Madrid.
Yes.
Right. So Klopp waiting a year, I don't know if it makes sense, but he probably just wants to rest. But next year, I don't see a lot of, if Newcastle get a good manager, okay, yeah, Klopp says he's not going to coach in England again anyway.
But next year, because Xabi Alonso is staying back in Leverkusen, right?
Yeah, so it just makes sense for him that next year when Ancelotti is leaving, he just joins Madrid. Which I feel like the job has been promised to him. You know, I see a lot of jobs being available this summer and not next year. But then it's football; a lot can change in a year. We could go into the next season and then maybe some other big clubs are having issues with, you know, their managers and all of that. So there could still be, you know, space for him. And I think one manager that needs to make a move this summer is Zidane. Because this whole shakara that he's doing, it's actually not helping him.
Yeah.
Because it gives the impression that he feels he can't do anything outside of Madrid.
True.
Right. So he needs to take that risk and actually get a job. So we'll see how it goes.
Alright. Well, that is good.
Man. Yeah. So Albert, for me, I think Man City is going to win the league.
Yeah,
you know, we had our pool at the start of the season. I put money on City. I put money on Liverpool as well. So anyone that comes, I don't really mind. But I think Man City is going to win the league. They have the experience, you know, they have the players. So I think they're going to do it. But yeah, you know, we'll see how the season goes. So to our listeners, Albert is predicting City. I'm also predicting City. If it doesn't happen, please come for us. Please attack us. You know, call us frauds if you want. We don't mind. But yeah, to our listeners, I think, you know, it's been a great episode. Thanks for sticking with us. This is us trying to put out, you know, video content, get some activity on our YouTube page. Reward has been really crucial and driving that forward. But yeah, this is what we look like. Yeah, this is me. This is Albert. Albert is our in-house model. So yeah, that's him. That's him. okay. So right, one of these days, you guys will see Chooks. That's our teddy bear. But thanks for sticking with us. Have a fantastic week ahead. Albert, thanks for being with me on this one. And to everyone out there, stay safe.
Cheers. Love from Amsterdam, man.